Good morning. We're delighted to have you with us. We're glad to see our members. We're delighted that we have guests among us. We're honored that you've come to be with us. I want to extend to you an invitation to come back and be with us every time you have the opportunity. If you'll find Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to just kind of settle down on that verse this morning in just a few minutes. But give me just a minute or two to talk to you about. I got three things, and I'll do them as quickly as I possibly can. Number one, young people. Meet me right up here at the front, 5 o'clock this afternoon for Kids Connection. We have two we're going to honor this morning right at the end of services. I'm going to ask our song leader or whoever ends the services this morning. You've got where you're doing it different sometimes, so however it's going to end this morning, right at the end of service, if you'd just stay seated for just a moment, we want to honor these two young people who have memorized 26 verses. 26 verses. In just 6 weeks, have memorized 26 verses. And we've got some others that are close, and when they finish theirs, they'll get awarded too. Just stay seated right after we dismiss, and we're going to take care of that, awarding them and recognizing them. We hope you'll will join us and do that, and then congratulate them for the hard work that they've done. This week is Thanksgiving week. This week, our Wednesday evening services are going to be on Tuesday. So if you show up Wednesday, you'll be a day late, okay? Be Tuesday evening. We'll have a good meal together at 6 o'clock. At 7 o'clock, we're going to have what I'm calling thanks singing. We've called it that the last few years. We'll just continue it on. It's going to be a great song service. Hey, you need to be here. Of course, you'll want to be here. But you need to invite your friends and your neighbors and your family to come join you Tuesday evening. I have two families that I have just been praying for and getting close to for several years. And both of those families have promised me they're coming Tuesday night. Now, I need your help. I need your help. I need you to be here. Well, they'll be discouraged and they'll think, oh, it's just like every other church I ever attended. They're not interested. They're not even interested to come to attend. They're not interested. They'll do that if you're not here. But if you're here, they can't say that. Number two, then I need you to help me. I need you to be just as friendly to them as you can possibly be. Make them feel welcome. But then you personally say, hey, we're not just glad you're here tonight. We'd like for you to come back and be with us every time. You'll do that. If you do that for these two families that I know that I really think are going to come Tuesday evening, for me, I'd appreciate it, and I'll help you with yours, okay? You invite someone as well, and you help me with that. The last thing, there's no slide for this one. The last thing is that we have a young lady who has just wants to do something in the name of Christ to help children in our community, in our county, in our state, in our world. Do y'all know Layla? Layla Mears, stand up. Just stand up. You don't have to say anything. Now, you want to say something? No. She doesn't want to say anything. But this is Layla. And Layla has started a project she's calling Layla's Closet. Layla's Closet is a work, but she's just asking people to donate. You'll take used, won't you? Would you take new? Yeah, you'd take new too. New, used, whatever. Children's clothing, children's shoes, children's toys. And Layla will box it up, and of course, she's going to have a little help. But she'll box everything up and get it in packages for these kids, and then it'll be delivered to people, to families and to people who have children and children that are in need. Will you help her? Will you help her? If you could just bring something, just bring it to the church building here, just bring it to the church building, and then we'll be sure that it gets to where Layla needs for it to be, and we'll be sure that it's used. So I told her, I said, now, you know, how much do you want? She didn't have an answer for that, of course. right now today, all we can get, all she can get. If it gets to be more than she can handle or take care of, then I'll be standing in front of you again and I'll say, hey, for right now, no more. No more. So will you help her? Will you help and encourage this young lady in this great work that she has in mind? I'm mighty proud of her for even coming up with such an idea and wanting to do it. So if you'll help her out with that. There are a lot of people who think that Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 20, is the most difficult command in the Bible to keep. And I'd be one of them. It's probably the most difficult commandment in the Bible to keep. But yet, at the same time, it is probably one of the most satisfying and rewarding commandments that when we keep it, that is found in the Bible. So read it with me. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 20. You see what you think. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You got it? Read it with me one more time. You ready? Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there are, at least in my mind, there seems to be at least four levels of living that people choose to live on. There's a level of people who just choose that they can't be satisfied. They're never going to be happy. They can't be satisfied. I heard about a woman who was married to such a man. He just couldn't be happy. You couldn't satisfy him. But one woman, one morning, she woke up thinking to herself, I'm going to do anything and everything I can to satisfy that man today. And so she nudged him as he lay there in bed. She nudged him and she said, honey, I'm going to cook your breakfast. What would you like? And he said, well, since you ask, I want two pieces of toast. I want one of them white bread. I want one of them whole wheat bread. The white bread, I want it toasted, crispy toasted. The other, the whole wheat bread, I want it lightly toasted. Nothing else done to the white bread but the whole wheat bread. I want it buttered on one side. He said, I want two eggs. One over easy, the other I want scrambled. She said, I'll do it. She went to the kitchen. She fixed it just like he had told her to fix it, everything. And she brought it to him in bed. She brought it to him. And as she set it there in front of him, she noticed the sour look on his face. And she said, honey, what's wrong now? And he said, you scrambled the wrong egg. Now, there are some people like that. They just are not going to be happy with anything. And they live on that level in their lives. And then there's the next level. And on that level, they're not like those other folks. They're just not grateful. It's not that they're unhappy and can't be happy. It's just that they're like a hog under a tree, eating acorns but never looking up to see where they came from. And they choose to live on that level right there. And then there are some folks who, they are grateful. They're grateful, but they're only grateful really and only think about being grateful for the obvious things. I mean, if they've got health, they're thankful for health. If they got a little money, they're thankful for money. If they've got a car, they're thankful for the car. They're thankful for the obvious things. But then, folks, there is this other level. And that's the level that we're being challenged to in Ephesians chapter 5. Giving thanks for, giving thanks for always, excuse me, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks always for all things. And that's the level of living that God wants me to live at. Now that's tough, isn't it? That's a challenge. It is. But that's what God wants from me, and that's what God wants from you. In fact, that's God's will for your life. We can quote First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. We can quote that one. Pray without ceasing. That's not even the end of the sentence. Verse 18 continues the sentence. Pray without ceasing in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God for your life in Christ Jesus. Thanksgiving is so important. It's so important. I heard about a man who found the devil's storehouse of seed. And there was an abundance of one kind of seed. And he said to the devil, why do you have so much of this kind of seed? And the devil said, it's because it's so important to me. It's the most valuable seed that I have. It's the seed of discouragement. And that seed, when planted, will root and take root and flourish almost anywhere except in the heart of a thankful soul. Thanksgiving is that important. Discouragement can't get us. It can't capture us. If we'll just learn to be thankful on the level of being thankful always for all things. So let's just sit down on this verse for a minute. Let's look first of all at the duration of thanksgiving. How long are we to be thankful? Always. Always. Why? It's because blessings never cease. If blessings never cease, thanksgiving should never cease, should it? Here's you one. Lamentations chapter 3, verse number 23. In talking about the mercies of God, here's what it says. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The mercies of God are new every morning. So do I have anything to be thankful for this morning? I can be thankful for the mercies of God. How about in the morning? I can be thankful for the mercies of God always, always. And great is thy faithfulness. God has faithfully been blessing you and has faithfully been blessing me. And great is that faithfulness. I want you to turn with me to this one. Keep your finger here if you wish in Ephesians chapter 5. But turn with me, if you would, into your Old Testament, Psalms chapter 68, verse number 19. Read it with me. Psalm 68, verse number 19. I read this one to Beverly just this morning. Psalms chapter 68, verse number 19. Listen to this. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loads us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Hey, you can't just read that one once. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loads us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. And he says, Selah. Really, the word Selah in English could be translated pause. This was a psalm. It could be translated pause. But the writer of this psalm wants you to pause right there. Think about that. Think about this. Our Lord daily loads us with benefits. Then which day should I be thankful? Every day, always, always. Bring his thought to the New Testament. Philippians chapter 4. You'll be more familiar with this. Philippians chapter 4 and in verse number 6. There the Apostle Paul says, be anxious or don't worry in nothing. Don't worry about anything. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You know, when I read that verse, here's what I think. I am to ask God with thanksgiving. But you hadn't even got it yet. You just asked. Listen, folks, if I'm asking God for more blessings and I've never thanked him for the blessings he's already given me, I'm wicked. That's wickedness. It's not, I mean, that is the definition, if you will, of paganism. This is Romans chapter 1. It's not on your slide, but this is Romans chapter 1. Well, the Apostle Paul is talking to the church at Rome, and he writes this letter, and he talks to them about those Gentiles who God had given them up. Here's what he says in verse number 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful. Folks, when I'm asking God for something else, and I'm asking God to bless me, prayer and supplication, and I'm asking God for something else, but I never stopped to thank him for anything that he's already done, I'm no better than the pagan. I'm no better than a person who would never even ask him. How long? What's the duration of thanksgiving? Paul says, always. 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 What are the dimensions of thanksgiving from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20? What are the dimensions? Listen to him. Giving thanks always for all things. For all things. Well, why? Why should I give God thanks for all things? Well, because God rules all things. And what God does not rule, God overrules. Isn't that right? God rules all things. And so I need to be thankful for all things. I need to be thankful for the simple things. Simple things. Any of you ever took a drink out of that water fountain? Or turned on the tap at your house and there was fresh, clean water for you to drink? You ever stop to thank God for water? For water? I'm not sure Beverly knows it, but Beverly and I paid to have a well drilled in Africa just not too long ago. For people who didn't have water. No water. And I turn on the tap and I don't even think about it. I ought to thank God for the simple things. Would you agree? For the simple things. I ought to thank God for the things that are seen. For the things that are seen. If I got a house, I got a house. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, when last week that snow was on the ground. Thank you, God, I had a house. And it was warm. Thank you, God. I need to get around once in a while. Thank you, God, for giving me a car to use. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. How far could you carry that? When an old man is blessed to walk out every evening after the sun goes down to lock up his animals, to protect them, and he can throw up his eyes to a star-filled sky, do you think that man ought to be thankful? Thank you, God. Thank you for blessing me. I ought to be thankful for the simple things. I ought to be thankful for the seen things. I ought to be thankful for the unseen things. Do you know that we're living with things going on all around us that we don't see? We're war not against flesh and blood. We war against principalities and powers and wickedness in high places. You can't even see it. And I can't even see it, but that battle's going on around me, and the battle is over one thing, my soul. And the soul of my wife, and the soul of my kids, and the soul of my grandkids. And sometimes we say, God, why don't you do something? And God's probably saying, I am. I am doing something. I ought to be thankful for the things I can't even see that are going on in our world. And how about the sorrowful things, the things that break our hearts, the things that trouble us, the things that cause us grief? You know, folks, the truth is sometimes we can't even see till our eyes have been washed with the tears, the hurt, and pain, and anguish. Because we look at those things and we say, why? Why? You know, there might be a why. Have you ever stopped to think about that? There just might be a why that those things happen to me. I mean, it could be, it just could be that those things, God has allowed that to come upon me in order to discipline me. This is Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, and the verse I'm thinking about is verse 11. Hebrews 12, verse 11. Now no chastening, no disciplining, now no discipline for the present seems to be joyous. I mean, when you're going through discipline, no, you're not enjoying it. It doesn't in that moment seem joyous. Now no discipline for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. In the moment, nobody enjoys the disciplining. But those who are exercised by it, eventually, it produces the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Hey, it could be that I'm going through this in order to discipline me, or in order to bring me back in line. And if I'm away and this discipline brings me back in line, what should I be but thankful for it? Amen? What should I be but thankful for it? Thanks for bringing me back in line. You children might, you know, you might want to remember that when your parents have to discipline you. And at that moment in time, it's no fun, is it? But when you get to be 64, none of your business how many years old. You know, I've got to where I'm thankful for every one of those switches she made me go cut. At that moment, a switch like that might as well have been a baseball bat. I didn't enjoy it. But now I'm thankful for every one of them. Thanks, Mom. Bring me back in line. Thanks. I mean, it could be that those difficult things, those troubling things, those hard things, possibly, it's so that my Christianity can be confirmed in the eyes of other people. I mean, hey, let's face it, even old Job, right? Even old Job. What did Satan say? Well, the only reason he's serving you, God, is because you've got a hedge built around him and nothing bad ever happens to him. You let me in on that. You let me in on that old boy, and he'll curse you to your face. Hey, and the world acts the same way. Well, I know why David serves the Lord. I know why he does that. He serves the Lord because he's never had any difficulty. If he had some difficulty, he'd be just like me. I don't need a God to let me go through that. Well, maybe, just maybe. Just maybe. God's allowing me to go through that difficult thing so that my Christianity can be confirmed in the eyes of other people. And other people can see, that man's for real. He's in for the whole trip. Not just when things are going well, but for the whole trip. Hey, the Apostle Paul wrote Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 20. You know where he was at when he wrote this? In prison. In prison. You know how he ended up there? He had been in Ephesus, and a riot broke out. And he had to leave town. He had been through all kinds of things. He had decided, I'm going to Jerusalem, and I need to be there by Pentecost. And as he visited city after town, people would warn him, don't go to Jerusalem. Don't go to Jerusalem. I've been troubled this night with a dream. It shows you bound, beaten. Don't go. Paul, don't go. Paul says, I'm going. And he went. By the time Paul writes this letter, he has suffered shipwreck and cold and hunger and beatings and stonings and character assassination. And Paul says, giving thanks always in all things. And he's sitting in a prison. Listen to what he says. You can flip with me if you want to. This is a Philippians chapter 1. Listen to what he says. Listen to what he says. Philippians chapter 1, and the verse I'm thinking of is verse number 12, starting. Listen to him. He's sitting in prison when he writes this now. But I would that you should understand, brethren, that the things that have happened to me have fallen out to the furtherance of the gospel. So that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident in my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. What's Paul saying? The things I've gone through, they've just confirmed. Confirmed. I'm a disciple of Christ. I'm a disciple of Christ. How many have quit? How many have thrown up their hands and walked away from Christ? Because their concept of Christianity was nothing ever bad happens to a follower of Christ. Well, where did you get that idea? The world hated him. Would you even want someone that hated our Lord to love you? We act like it. We act like it. Hey, maybe, just maybe, the hardship that I'm going through it to make me more dependent on God. Could be. I mean, the typical passage that we usually look at along these lines is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. The Apostle Paul said he had been caught up into the third heaven. He saw things that it was unlawful for him to speak. Now, how would you like to have had that on you? You've seen things that are so marvelous. You've been caught up into the third heaven, and God says, keep it a secret. Don't tell it. It's not lawful for you to tell. Paul says, that could have caused me to boast. I could have been all puffed up and boastful over this. I'm starting in verse number 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities. Let me back up. Let's back up to verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. Three times I went into extended prayer, Paul says, asking the Lord, take that thorn away. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Now listen to Paul's attitude. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Maybe I'm going through this to make me more dependent on God. And if I become more dependent on God, is that a good thing or a bad thing? That's a good thing. Should I be thankful for that then? I ought to be thankful for that. I ought to be thankful. Maybe, I'm going through these difficult things in order to mature me spiritually. To mature me. Listen to what David said. This is Psalms 119, verse 67. He says, before I was afflicted, I went astray. You with him? Before I was afflicted. Now, I've been afflicted now. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. Now I keep your law. Now I keep your law. He'd grown up. He's matured. We're more familiar with James chapter 1, beginning in verse number 2. Brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or different kinds of testing. Count it all joy when you fall into different kinds of testing, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. I've been preaching for you long enough. You bound to have heard this from me before. Folks, patience is not threading a needle. Patience is endurance. It's sticking with it. It's enduring. Whatever comes, it's enduring. He says the trying of your faith works patience. Do you need patience? Yeah, you need it. I need it. Well, if you need patience, then you're going to have to endure some things. And if you're going to have to endure some things, there are going to have to be some things you have to endure. Listen to him now. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Let patience therefore have her perfect work, that you may be perfect. And that word perfect doesn't mean you got gray hair and, the physique of Atlas. And that's not what it is. Perfect. The word perfect here is mature. We use it all the time. We talk about a perfect rose. It's a rose that's blossomed out. It's perfect. It's mature. That you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Hey, maybe, just maybe, the reason I'm going through this hardship, the reason this is upon me, is so that God can be glorified. And isn't that what Christianity is all about? It's all about glorifying God, glorifying Him today, glorifying tomorrow, glorifying the next day, glorifying the day after that. It's glorifying God. Well, maybe, just maybe, the reason I'm having to go through difficulties is so that God can be glorified. In 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning in verse number 12, Peter says, beloved, think it not strange. Now that's what we usually do. If something troublesome comes on us, well, why is this happening? It's strange. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice inasmuch as you're partakers of Christ's suffering, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you. Here's why. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you. Why? For the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. And on your part, he's evil spoken of. On their part, he's evil spoken of. But on your part, he's glorified. On your part, he's glorified. On your part, he's glorified. But maybe that's why I'm going through difficulties. Maybe that's the reason you're going through. You say, well, I can tell you this, David. You didn't explain mine. Listen, folks, it's not my job to explain it. We don't live by explanations. We live by commands and promises. Right? Giving thanks always for all things. That's a command. And we live by commands and promises, whether or not I ever understand it, and I can ever explain to you why you're going through what you're going through, or why I'm going through what I'm going through. God is in control. God rules, and I need to be thankful of that. And I say it to you again, and what he does not rule, he overrules. And I can be thankful for that. I can be thankful for that. Let's finish this thing up. We've looked at the duration. Always, always be thankful. We've looked at the dimensions for all things. Are you telling me, preacher? Are you telling me that I need to be thankful for cancer? Are you telling me I need to be thankful for rape? Are you telling me I need to be thankful for all the evil that's going on in this world? No. You misunderstood me. I said you need to be thankful because God is good. God is good. Those things aren't good, but I can tell you one thing. God is able to make all things work together for my good. And to them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose, Romans 8:28. We believe that, don't we? We believe that. So we've looked at the dimensions. All things. Let's finish up. Look at the dynamics of thanksgiving. Unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Unto God. Why unto God? Because every good and perfect gift. Hey, can y'all say this one? Come on. Every good and comes down from the Father of lights. They've learned it. Those kids have learned it. They got it. When are we going to learn it? Adults, when are we going to learn it? Every good, perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. And there's no changing that. In him there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. You're not going to change that. He come down from him. And then, of course, he's able to take all the good and all the bad and through the chemistry of the cross, work it out for our good. And that good is that we may be laid in the likeness of his Son, Jesus Christ. And isn't that our goal? To be more like Jesus today than we were yesterday, and more like Christ tomorrow than we were today. And he's able to work all of that out, Romans chapter 8, verse 28 through verse number 30. He's able to work that out. And it's to be done in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. It is my understanding that it is impossible for me to be thankful to God in the way that God wants me to be thankful for any other way than in the name of Jesus Christ. Just look at the cross. In fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, here's what the Apostle Paul says, beginning in verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Christ Jesus, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, knowing that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he, God, made him who knew no sin to be made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, in Christ. I don't see any other way to be thankful and pleasing to God without giving thanks in the name of. And that in the name of means by the authority of. By the authority of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you. We thank you. That make you think about 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. It's in the concept of giving. It's in the concept of giving. Read it. Don't take your preacher's word for it. Back that thing up into chapter 8 and read all the way down through chapter 9 and then keep reading. But in chapter 9, verse 15, in the concept of giving, he says, thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. Our God is a giving God, isn't he? And the greatest gift he ever gave was through his Son, Jesus Christ. I want to finish with this verse. I'm told that there's a place down in the Caribbean somewhere where ships sail into that place and they just disappear. That planes have been known to fly into that place and they just disappear. It's called the Bermuda Triangle. You ever heard of it? So I'm off now. What do you think about that? What do you think about me? I think it's a myth. That's what I think. That's what I think. But I want to tell you about a triangle that is no myth. And nothing mythical about this. Romans chapter 11 and verse number 36. There the Apostle Paul says, for all things are of him and through him and unto him. Unto him be the glory. Amen. Think about it. All things are of him or from him. Everything you know is from him, is of him, is of him. And everything you enjoy right now is through him. Everything you know is through him. And everything you know is going back to him. Look at that triangle. Unto him, through him, and unto him. And Paul says, unto him be glory forever. Amen. Amen. As a poet, his name is Rudyard Kipling. Hey, I'm just going to, this has nothing to do with the sermon. I'm just, Rudyard Kipling wrote a poem named If. That's the title of the poem, IF. If. I want you to read it. Won't take you 2 minutes. I want you to read it. Will you do it today? I want you to read it. Maddie, I want you to read it. I want you to read it. If. If. Rudyard Kipling was a British poet and short story writer and novelist, and he worked for a newspaper. He did all kinds of things. And he was one of the most sought after writers in the world. In fact, at the height of his career, he was being paid 10 shillings per word. Now, that was a lot of money back in those days. 10 shillings per word. And there were some of his fellow classmates who were jealous. And so they put together 10 shillings and put it in an envelope with a letter addressed to Rudyard Kipling and sent it to him. Rudyard Kipling opened the letter and the letter said, here's 10 shillings, give us your best word. Rudyard Kipling wrote back, thanks. Here's my point. Thanks is a good word, isn't it, Sandra? Thanks is a great word. Unthankfulness is a grievous sin. Thanks is a great word. Let's learn to use it. Let's learn to use it to our God. Oh, y'all didn't look at verse 19 of Ephesians chapter 5, did you? Let's see. I don't want to misquote anything. I think I'm right on that. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. As Christians, there needs to be a continuous song on our lips and thanks from our hearts. Amen? And folks, that means not just one day a year in November. Agreed? But always, for all things. Let's be thankful. Thanks is a great, great word. We've not talked about becoming a Christian this morning. But everyone I know who is a true and faithful Christian or is a true and faithful Christian because they're thankful for the sacrifice that a loving and merciful God made on their behalf. They're thankful. They're thankful. They recognize had it not been for that great sacrifice, had it not been for that great gift, they would have busted hell wide open. They're thankful. I'm asking you to consider your own life. Are you thankful?